This episode of Ticket Ripper is brought to you by HBO Max. They're totally not a sponsor, but hey, HBO Max, who'd you have to kill to get all this content? Welcome back. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. My name, as always, is Benjamin Abraham Arevalo, your gracious host, the dude, the king of the closet, Benji boy. It's not really a closet anymore. It used to be a closet back in the day, but now it's just a tiny room that we do things in. Yeah, sounds really suspicious. We do things in this room. Good week. No trailers this week either, because there are no trailers to talk about other than like PS5 game trailers, which I'm not going to do because I'm not a PS5 baby. I'm a PC5 baby. PC. If you're not on PC, you're sad. But at the same time, I get it. Next gen, you know, whatever. So anyway, let's get right into it. First, I want to talk about, because, you know, I've been watching a lot of TV lately, just mainly because of the fact that I'm bored sometimes. I play a lot of video games, but I'm mainly, like, whenever I'm not playing video games, I am 100% watching more TV shows now than movies. There aren't a lot of movies on streaming right now, but that might change, all thanks to freaking HBO Max, baby. Listen, I'm totally, like, I know this is like a totally unsubtle plug, but HBO Max, baby. Dude, I watched I bought a pack of batteries from Best Buy and they gave me 30 days of HBO Max free, baby. And I at first I was like, should I do it? Because then if I forget, then it's like $14. So we looked at the streaming thing. We looked at the stuff that they have on there, and like we're seeing like Studio Ghibli's, all the Cartoon Networks, you know, the DC shows, which are garbage, and they had their own streaming service. But then they were just like, I guess we're just gonna release it on HBO. They gave up on their own streaming service, and, you know, so much other things. And I'm like, because HBO Go was kind of sucky. They released like maybe 3 or 4 movies every, I want to say like every week or so. But when it came to like HBO Go was really for the TV shows. But now the movies are pop in. Oh, sorry, that made a noise. The movies are pop in. So it's rad. HBO Go kind of kicks, kind of rips, you know. I would just say, like, I might be canceling my Netflix subscription, or, well, it's not my Netflix subscription, my whole family's Netflix subscription, and it's also not even under my name. Listen, I'm between, I told my wife, I was like, if they have season 4 of Rick and Morty, I'm canceling Hulu, and I'm just going straight to HBO Go. No such luck, so we'll see what happens in the next 30 days. But anyway, so let's get down to the nitty gritty, because I've been watching a lot of streaming, a lot of TV. My favorite show right now, and you got to watch it, and if you haven't seen it, you're an absolute lunatic, is that of Daredevil. Now, keep in mind, there are only 3 seasons of this show, so heartbreak comes a little quick. However, so this is I'm going to call this Benji's TV guide. So this is the guide to tell you how to watch this television show. So you watch it season 1, and then get this, you won't believe this, season 2. Oh, and then after that, you want to watch Defenders, the Avengers of Netflix. You want to watch Defenders because it's Defenders is extremely heavily reliant on you understanding Daredevil's timeline. And then from there, and sure, you can watch Iron Fist, but it's not that good. Danny Rand is kind of lame. But then from there, then you go into season 3, and it finishes Daredevil's storyline off so beautifully. One of the best, like, altogether one of the best shows I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I legitimately do not understand how this show is this good and doesn't have 17 more seasons, like, lined up. It was an absolute, like, I love it. Everything about it is perfect. There's literally not one thing I could say wrong about this entire show. It's funny sometimes now, especially watching it now, like, because they value policemen so highly, and it's the reason I say that's funny now is because people value policemen so not highly now. like they're always just like, you know, like, oh, you're doing, like, these are the real heroes, and I'm like, because you know, stuff. But anyway, we're not a political podcast, we're not going to get into that, but it's just funny to see the contrast between like the way that people see that in like movies and TV versus how people nowadays actually see it in like real life. But yeah, it's incredible show. The last season is literally like, you cannot fathom how good this show is. I can't explain, I can't put it into words how good season 3 of Daredevil is, or I call it season 4 because Defenders is pretty much season 3. But you cannot believe how good season 3 of Daredevil is. It's phenomenal. Like, reviews don't give it any credit. It's the best. It is the best. Like, when you finish it, you're like, that was the best show I've ever seen in my life. The story arc like moves in such a perfect and logical way. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And speaking about like all this stuff going on, you know, the protests, all of that, and, you know, injustice and whatnot, you know, because I'm not going to get political, but if you are looking for a movie that, and this is a movie that I feel like, I think I've mentioned it before, but this is a movie that I feel like hasn't gotten a humongous rep. And yet, like, everybody needs to see this movie. Everybody needs to see this movie. It's incredible. It's fantastic. The story is just like spot on. And the characters are just, you know, spot on. And then just in general, like, you know, overall writing, overall, like, everything about this movie is as perfect as like I can imagine this movie having been. It's called Blindspotting. I've talked about it before. It's starring David Diggs. I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's got two E's, and maybe David. I don't know. And Rafael Casal. They're the two main characters. Absolutely. And actually, they are the writers of this movie. So the movie's absolutely fantastic. Let me give you the little synap. While on probation, a man begins to reevaluate his relationship with his volatile best friend. That's the core of it. But it's got this like, you know, like really like, you know, it's got this like really like deep, like cutting, like racial like tone to it as well. It's honestly one of my favorite movies ever. I watched it on HBO, mind you. I watched it on HBO, and this was like months ago when I had HBO Go, and that was still a thing. But I watched it, and I legitimately stood up, and I was just like breathing, and I was like, wow. That was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. I love it. I love everything about it. Don't talk crap on it. It's absolutely fantastic. So yeah, if you're really wanting something to get you kind of in that mindset and like understand a little bit more as to like the ideas or the like mindset of what's going on right now, this is a movie that I can perfectly describes it. And honestly, it's like poetry at points. Literally, it's poetry at some points. And I absolutely love it. It's incredible. Check it out. This movie deserves all the love we can give it. It's fantastic. Moving along. So the movie that we're going to be talking about today, because there are, you know, obviously there's not a lot of trailers releasing, and there are a lot of movies that are dead in the water, not necessarily dead in the water, but they're just in limbo phase. So they're just kind of like, oh, you know, like this movie could have had a really, really good release. However, we can't release it because people can't go to the movies. So, there are movies like, you know, Tenet. When is that coming out? You know, whatchamacallit's No Time to Die. When is that coming out? We're dead in the water with a lot of these movies. So I thought it would be fun to talk about a movie that was dead in the water to begin with. which, yeah, it's not going to be Fan Four Stick. So don't worry. I'm not going to go down the Fan Four Stick timeline again. But anyway, we're going to be talking about the massively disappointing Assassin's Creed. It is 2016, you know, directed by, you know, Justin Kurzel, which, by the way, who the hell are you? he made Macbeth too. Oh, look at that. With what's his name? With Fassbender as well. Yeah, I mean, he's done some stuff, not really a whole lot, you know. Let's see what he's written. Okay, so he's not like, I don't mean to be rude. He's not it's not an impressive, it's not a humongously impressive thing, the things that he's done. And then he ventures into the video game world, and I think that that could have been a problem, you know. But then we look at the writers who wrote this thing, directed by, you know, obviously, you know, the guy we just talked about, writing credits. These people based on the video game, and then three people: Bill College, Adam Cooper, Michael Leslie. Let's take a look at this guy. What have you written? Whoops. Uh-oh. A movie called Heavy Metal Drummer. It was a short. Some shorts, you know? Some shorts, and then a Hamlet pre-production that he's about to start doing, and a little drummer girl. Adam Cooper, let's try that. Sorry, you don't want to hear all this, me doing this. Writers, The Chosen One, Assassin's Creed, Of Kings and Prophets. It's a TV show. Allegiant. Oh, God. Exodus. Oh, God. That's not good. That's already bad. Bill College. Okay. Okay. This dude looks like he wrote Assassin's Creed, huh? Same. Oh, no. Same movies. And the Transporter Refueled. And Allegiant as well. These guys can't write movies by themselves, huh? anyway, so sorry, you went on a little like trip there of just listening to me talk about the writers. So I like to do that because I like to see, like, did they have potential to begin with? And here's my answer. No, this movie was dead in the water when it started. because and here's the thing about it. Sorry. We are actually going to start with our new segment. Well, kind of new. It's our recently new segment called Recast the Past. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this movie, Assassin's Creed, the one that we're talking about right now, and I'm going to recast the past. So I'm going to pick the main, you know, in my opinion, top three more important characters in this movie. And I am going to recast them with people that I think would be fantastic playing their roles. So first, obviously, is going to be Michael Fassbender, who plays the character of Cal Lynch, or Aguilar, in the, you know, past, which we'll get to here in a bit. But who would I recast as Michael Fassbender? So here's the thing about it. I have to say this first. I think that one of the biggest issues with this movie is that they took their ancestry storyline, and they changed it. I think that having the movie been this, or having the movie like storyline been the same you know, because I didn't want to, when I heard of an Assassin's Creed movie, I didn't want to see some random dude that I had never heard of before be like as an assassin. You know, I didn't want to see Aguilar. No, I went because I wanted to see Altair. You know, I needed to see that dude. And they didn't do that for me. And, you know, and then on top of that, Michael Fassbender. I mean, I love Michael Fassbender. Don't get me wrong. I love him. He's amazing. He's got, you know, great acting skills, acting chops. He did a really good job on like the physical aspect of this movie. However, I'm just gonna say it right now, boy's pasty white, which is fine, but I feel like, especially for the character that he was playing, we needed the actor to be a little bit more, like, especially if he was a Spaniard, a little bit more Spaniardy looking. So who you're asking yourself, who could be pasty white but still have like a little bit more of a Spaniardy looking to him? My answer to that is Ben Barnes, which if you just heard that name, by the way, his name is Benjamin Thomas Barnes, born in London, England. Already, you know, the boy's pasty white, but you look at him and you think to yourself, well, boy's a little not that pasty white anymore, you know, like he could definitely play. I mean, he's done it before in like movies like the Chronicles of Narnia. He was Prince Caspian, you know, so he can definitely do like sort of the Spaniard thing, which is great, you know, bada bing. So Ben Barnes is my choice. I'm going to stick with it because, I mean, it's definitely something I can see. Now we're going to recast Marion Cotillard because, you know, don't get me wrong, incredible actress. I loved her in this movie, actually, but I feel like it was too much. You know, it wasn't too much. It just, you know, I I'm recasting the past. What do you want from me? So as Sophia, who am I going to recast her as? Felicity White. Let's go with that, huh? Because Felicity White is great. She has this very like smarty kind of like look and vibe to her. And, you know, also she's like British as hell. So I feel like that could go really well with who I'm going to cast as. I think it's normally supposed to be her father. I forgot if it was her father in this movie. But Jeremy Irons' character, I would recast as Liam Neeson. He's Rick and he's like the evil scientist. And I think that would make, you know, sense together, because if they are in the video games, they are daughter and father, so it would make sense that, you know, they would be, you know, because Marion Cotillard has a very like obscenely French accent, so for Jeremy Irons to be like, do you want a cup of tea, and then Marion Cotillard to be like, yes, but like, please, I was gonna speak Spanish, please, would you show me the tea? Even though she's really good at like hiding the accent, I think they just wanted it in this movie. But anyway, that'd be in the case of like in the like going more towards like the video game of them being like, you know, related. So there's that. So now I'm going to give you the synap of about this movie. It's really short. IMDb synapses are really, really short these days. But it's fine because I don't want to be, you know, like reading too long. Callum Lynch explores the memories of his ancestor, Aguilar de Nerja, and gains the skills of a master assassin before taking on the secret Templar Society. Ooh. So here's my problem with this movie is they took... like when you make a movie, especially based on a video game, here's one thing that is absolutely necessary is you have to take liberties. You have to take liberties with the storyline, with the acting choices, with the design, all that kind of stuff. Here's the problem with this movie. They took extremely, like way too many liberties with this movie. So what ended up happening is it became focused on something that the video game never was focused on. So the video game, if you don't know about the Assassin's Creed video game, basically what the core of it was is like the core of it was you play a character named Altair, the original Assassin's Creed. You play a character named Altair and you are in like way, way in the past, like so many years in the past. And you are trying to you're a part of a secret society called the Assassins Assassin's Creed, whatever they call it. I don't remember what they call it, but basically you have like cool like weapons and stuff and you like training and whatnot. And you like basically, they're like the Illuminati. They like take down government officials and stuff like for the good of the people, and that's basically what like at their core they are like meant to be doing. But in the video game, mind you, I keep saying in the video game because the video game is better, in the video game what ends up happening is basically like there's like, you know, infiltrators into the Assassins, like the Brotherhood. There's like, you know, like people like changing sides in there, and they're like, you know, basically there's a secret society within a secret society, and the Assassin's Creed have like their like mortal enemies are the Templars, and they're like idea of like peace and like, you know, basically a better world is like them being in power and controlling everything, and it's actually really weirdly tied into like history, which is really cool. And one of the best things about all of these movies and one of the thing are all of these video games, and one of the things that they lacked a lot of in this movie is being able to tie it into our history, because like the Knights of Templar are the Templar people are a real thing. Like, it's a real thing that you can like Google and like search up. And so they take this and basically like spin this like conspiracy about them in this video game. And it works really well. It's really cool. And then the way that they tie it into like other historical like aspects and like moving to America in the video games is really smooth and really perfect. Now, the movie didn't do any of that. The movie is basically just like, oh, let's show Michael Fassbender in jail dealing with like flashbacks of being in the Animus. And the Animus normally was just like this bed that you lay down inside. And then like you go into like a dream state, and then you're in the dream state, and the dream state or the past state is like 70, I want to say a good like at minimum 80% of the video game, and you barely ever see like the real world. And yet this movie wanted to focus so much on the real world. Like the storyline was more like, I can tell you the storyline more in of like what happened in the real world of this movie than what happened in the past. And that's not what's supposed to be happening. Nobody remembers Desmond. We just remember what happens to Desmond, you know, who was the Callum Lynch of the video games. No, like what we remember is Altair and his storyline, you know, and how that went and how that ties into Ezio, which is the next assassin that you get to play as, and how he ties into Desmond's, like bloodline. But nobody it wasn't until like really I want to say like the third game that people started really giving a crap and playing as Desmond more. Like in the first game, Desmond was just he was living out like what Desmond was in the first game, and actually through most of the games, is he was a way for you to see that the Templars had power. I have had power this entire time. And then it's like this twist of like, oh no, the people that are like reading my brain, the people that are like in my mind right now, they are the Templars and they're using me to, it's like this realization, like Desmond trusts them, but then he realizes, oh my God, they are using me to find, they call it the Apple of Eden, you know? And I think they use it in this movie too, which is really weird. But they're using me to find the Apple of Eden. It's like this twist. And then he has to like break out. And there's like, you know, revenge and all this stuff. It's awesome. And then Altair, he's dealing with all this stuff at the same time. And then you get into Ezio and he's dealing with like gods and whatnot. And it's crazy. The games get crazy, which I mean, like, that's like the gods part. That's where you take liberties. Okay. That's where you take liberties. Okay. That's, I mean, some of it's necessary, but there are points where you have to take liberties. And I understand. But the taking the liberty on the Animus thing, they thought it was going to look cool. They thought it was going to look better. No. Once Callum, you know, because that's the guy, what was his name, was in the movie, unfortunately. Once Callum gets into the Animus, we didn't need to see him anymore. We needed to see Callum. We needed to see Aguilar, and that's it. Okay, Callum needs to be knocked out, okay? Because that's how it makes sense. It's like Inception, you know? So once that's the way it's supposed to be, and I understand why they did it. They wanted it to be more action-y and kind of be like, whoa, look at the mirror between, like, you know, real life and, like, you know, the memory. But no. The memory is real life, and that's all we need to see. That should be your movie, is he, you know, Callum needs to finish the... He needs to know what happened. He needs to find out the storyline, and he needs answers to the questions that he's starting to have in like real life. Cause that's, you know, Desmond, that was one of the better parts of it, is he like gets out of the Animus. They're like, okay, go ahead and rest up. But because he's been in the Animus, his like memories, his like bloodline memories are meshing together, and he can see his like, cause they had somebody and they were like holding them hostage there before, who was a family member of his. And or a bloodline member of his, and you can see, he can start seeing the memories of that person on the walls, and he's realizing like something is horribly wrong here. I have to go back into the Animus to figure out what's happening. And so it's all this stuff. That's where the storyline is. But in this one, it was like, oh, your father's here and he's an assassin and so is everybody else. No, that's not what we want. We want deep into his brain. We want like everything that has to do with Desmond has to be just psychological issues from what he's seeing in the Animus. And then the Animus is just all like clean, uninterrupted storyline. The storyline isn't Callum or Desmond. That's where this movie went wrong. Callum Lynch is their main character. Aguilar is the main character. Okay. That's how it should have been. That's not how they went about it. Too many liberties, but also when it came to like visual effects, it felt like a video game. The movie, at the beginning of the movie, there's a little like logo for Ubisoft. I'm like, did Ubisoft do your visual effects? I certainly hope not. Because I mean, don't get me wrong, Ubisoft makes, you know, great video games and the visual effects look great. However, there's a reason they don't make movies. There's a reason no movie in the history of man has ever started with a Ubisoft logo. It's because Ubisoft done make movies. Like, come on, dude. Like, let's get things straight here. You want like Weta Digital to do this stuff. That's where they also went wrong, is with taking liberties like that. Like, oh no, we don't have to get a big boy. We don't have to get a big boy, visual effects company. We have Ubisoft. No, dude. And it ended up, you can tell what's visual effects and what isn't, because it's heavily, like, easy to tell. It's ridiculous. And, you know, like, the one thing and the last thing that I'm going to talk about this movie, because I'm already getting close and I didn't want to keep this one. This one's going to be short because I also have to work. OK, which is sad, but, you know. But one of the last things about this movie that is an absolute travesty, they did a solid job on it, but they definitely could have done better. The action, the fight scenes, like, this is where you take liberties out the wazoo that the video game couldn't, because you can get better angles. You can make the fight scenes without having to, like, in the video games, the fight scenes are awesome, you know, but the problem is that you have to stay in, like, a third person view to see them. With a movie, you can show fight scenes differently. You can show fight scenes faster, more powerful. You can cut, you know, you can do all that kind of stuff, give you different angles. You could have literally hired, like, these are the parts, like, exactly like what I was talking about last week with Extinction, or whatever week I was talking about, not Extinction, Extraction. They hired a stuntman to make to direct the movie. And you can tell that in a lot of other parts, the producers took on, like, you know, like, more of the storyline, like, oh, it's going to look like this, how it looks. But when it came to the action, it was like you were watching a different movie. It was like you were watching, like, oh, okay, this is where his directing came in. Because the producers have, like some producers can choose to have, like, a really big presence on set and have, like, a gigantic effect over how the movie feels. And you can feel their presence in it. But then once the action starts, you definitely feel a stuntman's view on it. And that's what they needed for this movie. Personally, in my opinion, I think the storyline was written for them perfectly. They could, like, you know, obviously they just had to take some liberties. But I think that as far as visuals, get yourself a good producer. As far as action, and, like, directing, they needed a stuntman for this movie. This movie needed a stuntman, because, sure, you know, the action, the fight scenes, the stabbies isn't, it's not the core of the movie. It's not what's the most important. However, if that is off, the entire movie is off. And with this movie, I felt like it was just not as powerful, like, these fight scenes, as they could have been. You know, get some dudes from Thailand to just start, you know, like, doing some choreography and whatnot, because Taiwanese people are, like, insane when they're fighting. You know, that's what this movie needed. Was it needed the touch of a stuntman, but not just like a stuntman in, like, oh, you know, I'm Callum Lynch, you know, or I'm Michael Fassbender's double. No, it needed an executive touch of a stuntman. It needed that bloodline, that vein of stunts running through it. And it didn't have that. And that is why this movie, at its very core for me, failed. Is because if your story and your visuals are going to lack, there is one last thing you need for an action movie like this. And that is stunts and, like, action and, like, fight scenes. Really well choreographed, really well executed, and especially for this movie, I'm just going to say it, rated R as hell, like, fight scenes. You know, I hate to keep bringing it up all the time, but look at John Wick. Because they put a stuntman as the director, look what they were able to do in modern times. Like, these guys aren't even using, like, swords and whatnot. Now imagine if you took that and now, like, take that back in time into, like, swords times. It becomes so much cooler. There's a reason they haven't given John Wick a sword yet. I think they have at some point, but, like, officially given him, like, a broadsword and made him fight yet. It's because it's too dope. It's because it's too dope. I'll lose my mind if I see John Wick with a broadsword just fighting dudes. John Wick with a lightsaber? Get out of here. That's what needs to happen for this movie. And honestly, and I'm just going to say it now, and this is completely off topic, that's what needs to happen for a Star Wars movie. That's what we need out of a Star Wars movie. We need a stuntman director. You know, and keep in mind, the director is not always the writer. So, like, anytime you see a movie and you're like, wow, that movie was really cool to watch, and yet the story was so stupid, those are two different people's jobs. The stuntman director, he can have a gigantic gigantic effect on how the movie feels and how you perceive the movie. But the writer, you know, obviously, if he doesn't do his job, bada bing. And unfortunately, in this movie, they had people lacking on both. This movie could have been better, and it deserved to be better, because the story, the video game, was absolutely phenomenal. And the fact that that Ubisoft, you know, allowed this to happen to their baby is a travesty. It's a shame. You know, I don't even know who, like, what production company made this, but they should be ashamed of themselves. This was a movie, literally, this movie right here needed to be so good, because it could have given them, literally, it could have given them an Avengers level, like, franchise, in my opinion. In my opinion, this movie could have given them easily 7 more movies that I would have watched. I mean, it's the same thing that happened with the games. They took too many liberties, and now the game feels entirely different. Now the game's basically an RPG. It's like I'm playing The Witcher all over again. Which, by the way, The Witcher's amazing, but still. It's not what I want out of an Assassin's Creed movie, or video game, or movie. It's all about historical ties. It's all about those just rocking action, like fight scenes, dude. It's all about them, and it's all about them visuals, man. It has to look good. It can't look like a video game. And that's the problem with so many of these video game movies, is they look and feel like you're trying to make a video game. There's a movie, Prince of Persia. That's the only movie that I remember watching that was based on a video game and being like, you know, I actually kind of like it. I wasn't super upset about Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, I wasn't incredibly upset with Prince of Persia. You can say whatever you want. I didn't think it was a horrible movie. I think it could have been better. But I think that as far as like liberties that they took a good amount of liberties. As far as like visuals rocked on this movie. Action sequences rocked on this movie. Jake Gyllenhaal's pasty white as hell. But hey, he played it off really well. Prince of Persia is a really good example of something that, like, something that Assassin's Creed should have, like, taken into account. Is like, you can take liberties. That's not what we're saying. But don't get the idea mixed up of what people want out of this movie. Don't think that we want more Desmond or more Callum Lynch, because we don't. He's not the main character. So don't make him a main character. And that's all the time I have, because I have to go to work and like pay my bills and stuff. So I will see you guys. I will hear you guys in another life. If you like this podcast, you know, listen, subscribe, share, comment, whatever you do on podcast things, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you didn't like this podcast, you can go to hell. You can follow me if you want to communicate with me. Tell me that my ideas are horrible. Tell me my ideas are great. You can follow me at Ticket Ripper Pod on Twitter. I also post a lot of my links for my new YouTube channel, Chawembe on YouTube. That's Chawembe on YouTube. I make Rainbow Six video game clip montage. I don't like calling them montages. They're not montages. They kind of are montages. The clip stuff, you can put those up there. You can watch them if you like video games. If you don't, that's fine. Follow me on Ticket Ripper Podcast or Ticket Ripper Pod on Twitter. And also, I'll be seeing you guys around. You guys are cool. You guys, if you're still listening to this podcast, even after all the times that I keep forgetting to make week after week, you're cool. Okay, that's it. I don't care what everybody says about you. Bye-bye.